Radio.
The Power of Confession, a talk by Father John Flada from Reasons for Hope 2014, held in Grosvale, Sydney.
Thank you, Richard, and it's good to be here in the Hawkesbury, in this beautiful setting, I must say, and with the gentle chanting of the bellbirds in the background, one of the features of this area. And yes, the talk is on confession, and it's one of my favorite topics because I see the value of the sacrament, which we'll talk about, but also because so few take advantage of it. And I'm going to base this talk on a little booklet that I wrote years ago, published by the Catholic Adult Education Center when I was there, called Why Go to Confession? The booklet itself was a result of a talk that I gave on this topic in Melbourne to a summer school, and the students seemed to like it, so we published it as a booklet down there, and then it was republished at the time of World Youth Day in Sydney. And I began with a little story that happened in Warrain many years ago, where a student who had just come back to confession after a long time away asked me to pray for a friend of his because they were going away on a study weekend and he wanted to get his friend to go to confession. And he said, Father, pray because if he goes to confession, I've told him that I personally will do 500 times the penance the priest gives him. And then I gulped and we calculated how long it would take to say 500 rosaries just in case the priest gave this fellow a rosary for penance. And I didn't see him until the middle of the following week. And I asked him, how did it go? And he said, he went to confession and I'm doing 100 times the penance. And I said, I thought it was 500. And he said, no, the offer was only good for the weekend. He went today. So the joy of himself having gone to confession after a long time, the eagerness to get his friend to go so that he promised him he would do 500 times the penance, and then his friend did go. And I asked him, well, what was the penance? In the end, he said, an act of thanksgiving. So 100 acts of thanksgiving are easier to say than 500 rosaries. Our Lord gave us this sacrament on the evening of his resurrection. It is, as it were, the first fruits of his passion and death and resurrection, to give to the church this sacrament of reconciliation with God. He had died to reconcile the whole of mankind with God, and now he is giving a sacrament, an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace, so that we would have a ready means of being reconciled with God when we sinned. And I asked the question, why did Christ give us this sacrament? It responds to deep-seated human needs. First, the fact that we all sin. We know ourselves from the time we reached the age of reason. We began to tell lies and to fight with our brothers and sisters and to disobey our parents. And then we became older and we fell into other sins. We all sin and we need some way of being forgiven. Secondly, he instituted it because we have a deep-seated need to tell someone we're sorry when we have offended them. And I always imagine a man who normally kisses his wife goodbye before he leaves for work, but today he's in a big hurry. He gets into his car, he's on his way to work, and suddenly he remembers, I forgot to kiss my wife goodbye. Maybe she's beginning to think I've got some other woman in my life. And as soon as he arrives at work, because he doesn't want to use his mobile phone on the road, he rings his wife and said, look, I'm really sorry. I forgot to give you that normal kiss. And then she relaxes. And he has fulfilled a need. He needs to tell her that he is sorry. And then a third deep-seated human need, the need to tell others what has happened to us or what we have done. And just imagine a person that's on his way to work and has a car accident, or he gets stopped by the police for speeding. Something has gone wrong in his life. There's a need to tell someone. Or imagine that he's had a big argument with his wife, and then he stormed out of the house, slammed the door, got in the car, managed to control his road rage, and arrived at work. And there's something upset in his life, and again, he will have the need to tell someone that. And now we imagine the following scenario. At morning tea over the coffee, he tells his friend that he's just had a big blue with the missus. And he says, "For heaven's sake, don't worry about that. I do that all the time. You've got to keep them in their place." So he gets bad advice, but he said what he needed to say. And now he feels even more restless because his friend has given him bad advice. And that afternoon, when he's going to get another cup of coffee, someone from the floor up above says, "Hey, I heard about the big blue." He said, "What? Who told you? Everybody's talking about it." This is what happens. We need to tell others what has happened, and we tell it in an office situation. We get bad advice, and everybody knows about it. We go to confession, where again we have a deep-seated need to tell someone what we've done. We tell our Lord through the priest. We get good advice and a whole series of other benefits that I'm going to talk about now. And the priest doesn't tell anyone. This is between God and us. Cardinal Pell, when he was Archbishop of Melbourne, in his pastoral letter for Advent 1998, wrote about this sacrament. "It would be ironic in an age where we are encouraged to verbalize our problems and speak about our concerns when so many more people are helped by competent counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists, that the personal exchanges necessary in individual confession to a priest should be falling into disuse." That's ironic. People are going to all these other experts, paying them a lot of money, and not going to confession, which, among other things, is free. The cardinal goes on, "Many people are helped wonderfully in the first rite of penance because the combination of personal confession, sincere repentance, absolution, advice, and penance are the best means to deal with guilt." And he was encouraging the people in Advent of that year, 1998, to make use of this sacrament. And really, if more people went to confession, they would probably have a far less need to go to a psychologist, to a psychiatrist, to a life coach, which is a new phenomenon on the counseling scene. And a fourth need, the need to know we are forgiven. And here I imagine the child who has just broken, let us say, a vase that was very precious. And he goes to his mother and says, "Mom, I broke the vase." And she said, "You did what? How could you do that?" And she storms off. And that little child doesn't know what's going to happen next. But when the mother finally comes after she's calmed down and gives, let us say, her a big hug and says, "Don't worry, I forgive you," now the child is at rest. We need to know that we are forgiven. And that is why our Lord instituted this sacrament. Because we hear with our ears. It's a sacrament. It's an outward sign. We hear with our ears those words of the priest coming from God, "I absolve you from your sins." And then we are at peace. Pope John Paul II, soon to be made a saint, in a general audience on the 22nd of February 1984, asked the question, why should I reveal to a man like myself my most intimate situation and even my most secret sins? Why can't I address myself directly to God or to Christ instead of having to go through the mediation of a man in order to obtain forgiveness for my sins? And this is a very common attitude. Why can't I just tell God I'm sorry? We can, and we should. As soon as we have offended God in anything, we should say an act of contrition. Why did our Lord want us to go to all the trouble of finding a priest and go to confession? Pope John Paul II goes on. It is well to consider that despite the feeling of discomfort that ecclesial mediation can cause, it is a very human method, so that the God who frees us from our sins does not fade into a far-off abstraction, which would in the end become a colorless, irritating, and despairing imitation of ourselves. Through the mediation of the Church's minister, this God makes himself very close to us in the concrete reality of a heart that is indeed pardoned. In this perspective, we come to ask whether the Church's instrumentality, instead of being contested, should not rather be desired, since it responds to the deepest expectations that are hidden in the human soul when one approaches God and lets himself be saved by him. God becomes very close to us in this sacrament. And let us imagine the person who simply confesses to God and doesn't go to confession. And this God now fades into a far-off abstraction, which will become a colorless, irritating, and despairing imitation of ourselves, because we are saying, Lord, I don't hear you. Are you really forgiving me? Am I really sorry? And we don't hear anything. And then we are telling him, you do forgive me, don't you? I would forgive myself if I were you. But we don't hear anything. And when we go to confession, God speaks to us through that priest and tells us, I absolve you from your sins. And then we breathe a huge sigh of relief. We are forgiven. So our Lord gave us this sacrament as an outward sign so that we could tell someone else what we have done. We need to do that. And hear that we are forgiven. And then get good advice and all of the other benefits of this sacrament. It's, in a sense, a right of the penitent to have the sacrament. And as Pope John Paul II said as well in his first encyclical, Redemptor Hominis, it is a right of Christ too. He wrote there, in faithfully observing the centuries-old practice of the sacrament of penance, the practice of individual confession with a personal act of sorrow and the intention to amend and make satisfaction, the Church is therefore defending the human soul's individual right. As is evident, this is also a right on Christ's part with regard to every human being redeemed by him, his right to meet each one of us in that key moment in the soul's life, constituted by the moment of conversion, forgiveness. What benefits do we get from this sacrament? I listed a whole series. I'll give you the numbers as we go through them, and perhaps someone can come up with another one. And indeed, when I was giving this talk to some seminarians, in fact, I think at the time they were deacons, about to be ordained priests, Bishop Julian asked me to give a talk on confession, or a series of talks preparing these priests to hear confessions. And one of them gave me a benefit that I hadn't thought of, and I've added it to the talk and to this booklet. First benefit, forgiveness of our sins. We need to be forgiven, we want to be forgiven, and our Lord forgives us. No matter what we have done, no matter how many sins we have committed, God always forgives. There is no sin that cannot be forgiven. And there is no number of sins altogether that God will not forgive. He wants to forgive us. He is a God of mercy. And then, benefit number two, in order to go to confession, we have to examine our conscience. We have to think, what am I going to confess? This is a great benefit because we get to know ourselves. We don't just say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and that's my confession. Now, what specifically have you done? When we examine our conscience, which we should do every day anyway, then we get to know our weaknesses, our predominant faults, our more frequent sins. And this growth in self-knowledge is extremely important for improving. Third benefit, the very fact of acknowledging our sins and confessing them helps us to grow in that fundamental virtue of humility. We are all proud, and we can overcome our pride to some extent by going through that somewhat humiliating exercise of confessing our sins. And in this regard, one could ask the question, because it can be embarrassing to go to a priest who knows us and maybe thinks very well of us because we are in his youth group and confess a serious sin, might we be better off going to another priest who doesn't know us? To which I answer, when you go to a doctor for your normal general practitioner matters, or maybe there's something a bit more serious, a new pain that has arisen, or bleeding, do you go to a different doctor than the one you normally go to? And then after that, go to still another one so that no doctor gets to know you? Or is there some benefit in going to the same doctor who, precisely because he knows your history, is in a better position to help you? And do you take your car to a different mechanic every time, or do you go back to the same one? If we will go to the same doctor for our physical health and our car for our material good, will we not go to the same priest for our spiritual salvation, for our soul, which is far more important than our physical health or the well-being of our car? So yes, it's good to go to the same priest who does get to know us. We grow then, thirdly, in humility, and fourthly, we grow in another important virtue of sincerity. It's often difficult to be sincere when there are things going on in our life that we are somewhat ashamed of, embarrassed about, but when we go to the priest and we say these things, then we grow in sincerity. And if you wonder, what does a priest think? When someone comes to him with bigger sins, maybe especially when that priest knows us, I can only speak about this priest who is giving you this talk. And I can assure you that when I hear the confession of someone who I may or may not know, often I will, who comes with something bigger or with more sins, and they confess them so sincerely and so humbly, I am only edified by the humility and sincerity of that person, the sanctity of that person in saying all of that and getting the grace of the sacrament And as always happens, I forget the sins. All I remember is this person is so humble, so sincere, truly on the way to sanctity. The fifth benefit, and now we come to more spiritual ones, sanctifying grace. Every sacrament gives us sanctifying grace. That grace, which is a sharing in God's own love, life. And suppose we had committed a mortal sin, we had lost the state of grace, our soul was in darkness, a whole series of effects follow from being in mortal sin, amongst them the fact that we can't gain any merit for all the good deeds we do, because the soul is dead. When we gain the state of grace, once again, we can gain merit for all of our good deeds. And there's that joy of knowing that we are close to God. And then sixth, actual grace or sacramental grace. Each sacrament has its own particular grace. And this one gives us the grace, especially, to struggle harder to avoid falling into the sins that we have just confessed. And so when we confess any sins, venial or mortal or even imperfections, we get extra help from the sacrament to avoid falling into them again. It's a big help. Seventh, with this sacrament and with all of the grace, there is a new beginning in the spiritual struggle. We start over. Maybe we have been years, maybe we have been weeks, maybe we have been days without going to confession, but maybe we have fallen into a serious sin. Now we are in the state of grace again. We start over afresh. It's as if this person who had been working in the garden became very dirty. They took a shower, and now they're clean, and they put on clean clothes, and they want to stay clean. They don't want to go back into the garden straight away. That can come later. Our soul is clean. We want to keep it clean. And when we're tempted next, we will be stronger. I don't want to fall again. I don't want to offend God again. And I always wonder, and one of the people that comes to see me in the last few months said, I don't know how people who don't have confession manage. Because in confession, we start over. The spiritual struggle begins anew. Eighth, we receive spiritual direction. This, of course, depends on the priest, but I hope most priests will say at least a few words of advice, of encouragement when we go. And that can help us. Maybe they will pick up on one of our sins, give us some advice on how to avoid it in the future. And this is a big help in growing spiritually. And for many people, this is the only spiritual direction that they get. But even if it's only a few minutes, but it's very incisive, it's very personal, it can be a big help. And many people, when they go to confession, take advantage to ask a few other questions about their spiritual life to the priest, maybe after confession or within it, and they have a more extended period of maybe 5 or 10 minutes of personal spiritual direction. That is a big help in growing in holiness to which we are all called. Ninth benefit, the priest asks us to do some penance. It might be very small, like an act of thanksgiving, like say some prayers, like go home and apologize to the person that we have offended. But it helps to make up, at least in part, for the temporal punishment owing for our sins. Every sin, venial and mortal, requires that we do something to make up to the mystical body and to God for the harm that we have caused. Obviously, Christ makes up for most of it, but he asks us to do something. And this temporal punishment accumulates. We make up for it in other ways, by all of our good deeds, by our penances in Lent and throughout the year, by receiving all the sacraments, by indulgences. But in addition, the penance that the priest gives us in the sacrament is a help in making up for some of this temporal punishment. Tenth benefit, reconciliation with the church. We have offended God, but we have also offended his mystical body, the church. And so the priest, not only as the representative of God, but as the representative of the church, forgives us our sins, and we are reconciled also with the mystical body. And that brings us to the 11th benefit, and this is the one that the seminarian or deacon reminded me of when I had gone through this list, and he said, "Father, you haven't said anything about another very important benefit, which is healing." And I thought about that afterwards, and I thought, how true this is. A person can go into confession filled with anger at someone, bitterness, hatred, desire for revenge, sadness, depression, and through the sacrament recover some degree of healing. If we went in angry with someone that had offended us and we said bad things or we hurt them in some way, confession can often do away with that anger altogether. And it's not a remedy for depression on its own, but it can be a big help in helping people who have fallen into despair to recover. It is a very big help. And finally, joy and peace. It is the sacrament of joy. It is the sacrament of peace. Even when we have committed only venial sins, but we have been forgiven, to know that God has forgiven us, that he's filled us with his grace, that he embraces us with his love, is a great source of joy for everyone. Pope Benedict, in his address on the 19th of February 2007, said, "How many penitents find the peace and joy in confession that they have been pursuing for a long time. How can we not acknowledge that also in our time, marked by so many religious and social challenges, this sacrament must be rediscovered and proposed again?" And to propose this sacrament to ourselves, that we go and that we get our friends to go too. The question can be asked, how often should we go to confession? There are times when we must go, and that is especially when we have committed a mortal sin. There is the precept of the church to go to confession at least once a year, which strictly speaking applies only when we have committed a mortal sin. But we should go often, especially if we have mortal sins. And of course, we must go to confession before going to communion if we have committed a mortal sin. It's not enough to say an act of perfect contrition. We must go to sacramental confession before going to communion. And then how often should we go? When people come to me, I start from where they are. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 2 years since my last confession." I would always recommend to anyone, come more often, at least once a month. Many people go more often than that. It is a big help. And John Paul II, in an address to priests hearing confessions in the Roman basilicas in Lent in 1981, said, "The sphere of the use of the sacrament of reconciliation cannot be reduced to the mere hypothesis of grave sins. Apart from the considerations of a dogmatic character that could be made in this connection, we recall that confession periodically renewed, the so-called confession of devotion, has always accompanied the ascent to holiness in the church." And he didn't establish a causal connection between frequent confession and the ascent to holiness. But on thinking about it after reading those words, I realized that there is a causal connection in both directions. First of all, frequent confession contributes greatly to holiness. It has to. With all of that exercise of virtue and the graces we receive, we cannot help but grow in holiness when we receive the very sanctifying grace. So that frequent confession, of course, leads to holiness. But holiness leads to frequent confession too. The saint wants to go back to God to tell him he's sorry or she is sorry for little things. The saints went to confession frequently. We know that Pope Francis has said that he goes every 2 weeks. Pope John the 23rd, soon to be canonized as well, wrote in his Journal of a Soul, "During my whole life, I have kept faithful to my practice of weekly confession. Several times during my life, I have renewed my general confession." And Saint Jose Maria, of whom I am a priest's son, and whom I had the joy of living with for 2 years, very close to him in Rome, from 1962 to 64, when the Second Vatican Council was just beginning, and we had get-togethers with him hundreds of times in those 2 years, and I had a number of personal talks with him. And he went every week, of course, but he also said that there were times when he went two or three times a week, not because he was scrupulous, but because he had maybe done some little fault, and he was racing back to our Lord to tell him that he was sorry. And one final word on this. We need, one, to go to confession ourselves and to go regularly. It is a great blessing, a great help. And two, help others to go. Like that young man in Warrain many years ago, encouraging his friend to go. We all have people in our lives, could be family members, brothers and sisters, friends who don't go. Let us not simply pray for them. Let us encourage them to go. Let me give you some examples. Years ago, when I was giving evenings of recollection for ladies in Strathfield in Sydney, there was a fine young woman who, after I had preached about confession, took it upon herself to get as many of her friends and relatives to go as she could. And she would buy this little booklet, Why Go to Confession, which is ideal for giving to someone who hasn't been for a while. She would buy them, lots of 6 or lots of 10, and then give them to her relatives, is where she started, and then her friends. And after about a year and a half of this, she was bringing them to Homebush, where I was hearing confessions on a Saturday afternoon. After about a year and a half of doing this, she said, "Father, do you know how many people I have managed to get back to confession after some time?" And she said, "Maybe I shouldn't have counted like King David when he took the census." She felt a little bit of guilt at having counted the number. And I said, "No, how many?" And she said, 40. 40 people, some of them many, many years, other than fewer years, had gone back to confession. Another experience that I had only recently, I go to Newcastle twice a month to give evenings of recollection in the cathedral there. And this past month, on the second Monday of the month, which is coming up this coming Monday for the following month, I had an SMS message on my mobile phone on Sunday night. "Father, I want you to be in the cathedral at 7 p.m. because I have a friend who hasn't been to confession for a long time. I hope to get him to come." I said, "I'll be there." When I got there, there were two men waiting outside the confessional. And the friend that had invited me to come was there too, not one of the two, but he said, "Father, he's here." It's been more than 30 years. So I heard this confession, and when that man finished, I could see the joy, I could hear it in his voice, and that confessional allowed me to step around the screen and give him a huge hug, because I felt like the father of the prodigal son, and he felt like the prodigal son. And the joy on that man, and one can imagine, it will translate into his effort within his family, his children are grown up, to get many others to take advantage of this sacrament. We give so much joy to others when we go. Let me read some words of Pope Francis from two different addresses. The first one is from his apostolic exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel. And he, in paragraph 3, says, I invite all Christians everywhere at this very moment to a renewed personal encounter with Jesus Christ, or at least an openness to letting him encounter them. I ask all of you to do this unfailingly each day. No one should think that this invitation is not meant for him or her, since no one is excluded from the joy brought by the Lord. The Lord does not disappoint those who take this risk. Whenever we take a step towards Jesus, we come to realize that he is already there, waiting for us with open arms. Now is the time to say to Jesus, Lord, I have let myself be deceived. I'll just comment, this is so relevant. Many people can say this. Lord, I have let myself be deceived. In a thousand ways I have shunned your love, yet here I am once more to renew my covenant with you. I need you. Save me once again, Lord. Take me once more into your redeeming embrace. How good it feels to come back to him whenever we are lost. Let me say this once more. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. He had said that before in his pontificate. Now he writes it again in this apostolic exhortation. And I'll just read the words again. God never tires of forgiving us. We are the ones who tire of seeking his mercy. Christ, who told us to forgive one another 77 times, has given us his example. He has forgiven us 70 times 7. Time and again, he bears us on his shoulders. No one can strip us of the dignity bestowed upon us by this boundless and unfailing love. With a tenderness which never disappoints, but is always capable of restoring our joy, he makes it possible for us to lift up our heads and to start anew. Let us not flee from the resurrection of Jesus. Let us never give up, come what will. May nothing inspire more than his life, which impels us onwards. That encouragement to come back to Christ, and to do so especially through the sacrament of penance. And then in his weekly audiences on Wednesdays, he has begun a series on the sacraments. And in his audience on February 19th, 2014, he spoke about the sacrament of penance. And he said, one may say, I only confess with God. Yes, you can say to God, forgive me, and say your sins. But our sins are also against the brothers, against the church. For this it is necessary to ask forgiveness from the church, from the brothers, in the person of the priest. But Father, I am ashamed. Even shame is good. It is healthy to have a bit of shame. To be ashamed is healthy. When a person doesn't have shame, in my country we say that he is a sinvergüenza, without shame. But even shame does us well, because it makes us more humble. And the priest receives with love and tenderness this confession, and in the name of God, forgives. Even from a human point of view, to vent, it is good to talk with a brother and tell the priest these things that weigh heavily in my heart. And one feels that they vent in front of God, with the church, with the brother. Do not be afraid of confession. When one is in line to confess, they feel these things, even shame. But then when confession is ended, they feel free, great, beautiful, forgiveness, white, clean, happy. And this is the beauty of confession. I would like to ask you, but don't answer out loud. Each one responds in their heart. When was the last time you confessed, that you have confessed? Each one, think about it. Has it been 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, 40 years? Everyone take count, but everyone ask themselves, when was the last time that I confessed? And if a long time has passed, don't miss another day. Go, the priest will be good. Jesus is there, and Jesus is much better than the priests. Jesus receives you. He receives you with so much love. Be courageous and go to confession. We finish with those exhortations of Pope Francis, and I urge you, go to confession and get your friends to go too. God bless you.
That was Father John Flada with The Power of Confession. For more talks from Reasons for Hope, visit cradio.org.au.